is a long way from home, and Dim O'Rourke and his wife Isabel spend hours driving. They finally come to the place where Claire O'Sullivan lives. Dim O'Rourke notices there are two cars in the driveway, so they must be both at home. His wife has decided to stay in the car, as it will only take him a few minutes, he promises. He rings the bell and can hear footsteps approaching. When Michael Curtin opens the door, he looks pretty uncomfortable and doesn't sound very welcoming, but finally lets Dim O'Rourke reluctantly in when he inquires about his wife. Claire in? He asks. Michael Curtin looks down and starts whimpering.
But, don't you know? She left me a few months ago. I thought you'd know.
There's something peculiar about his voice, and Dim O'Rourke starts feeling unnerved, because he spoke to her only a few days about the death of Sean Maguire, and surely she'd have explained about the breakup.
Excuse me for a minute, says Michael Curtin as he leaves the sitting room.
Dim O'Rourke doesn't know whether to wait or leave. He starts walking around the room, looking at old photographs on the walls, touching a vase on the shelf. Then he notices a crystal jar with what seems to be jewels or gems. He opens the lid of the jar, holding one of those, taking for granted it's just precious stones. But when he feels them, he realizes it's not a stone. They are, but they can't be. Then Tim O'Rourke remembers Lady Maureen's words.
The thing that will kill you collects people's eyes.
For what he's holding in his hand turns out to be the incredibly beautiful eyes of Claire Sullivan, still dripping with blood. And next, he can recognize the eyes of Sean Maguire. As Dim O'Rourke rushes out of the house horrified, he catches a glimpse of Michael Curtin running after him, his eyes red with fury.
The thing that will kill you is after you.
Dim O'Rourke jumps into the car and locks the door. He fumbles for the keys in his pocket, but he drops them. He looks at the rearview mirror and sees the reflection of Michael Curtin tucking his arm into his jacket and then holding a knife.
The thing that will kill you is sharpening a knife.
Isabel asks what is going on and starts shrieking with horror. Tim! Tim! Who is that? He tries to start the car, but it won't go. Just as Michael Curtin is about to open the door, Dim O'Rourke hears the sound of the engine revving up, puts down his foot on the accelerator, speeds up, and drives away as fast as he can, leaving Michael Curtin behind. They must have driven for about 10 miles or so. It has started raining, the sun is going down, and it will soon be dark. Then the car starts slowing down, as if there was something wrong. It's slowing down, until it shudders to a halt. Now they're stuck in the middle of nowhere and everything is pitch black. Dim O'Rourke tries to start the car, but it's no good. He looks at his wife and she looks at him, but they say nothing, afraid of speaking out their thoughts.
Listen, he says to his wife, I'll walk to the next town and ask for help, then they'll come to tow away the car and we'll come pick you up.
Isabel is by now scared out of her wits. She's so frightened that she says she wants to hide somewhere.
It'll be all right, darling,
he says to reassure her, but unconvinced. Maybe, he thinks. Michael Curtin is lying low in the dark, watching them at this very moment.
Look, this is what we'll do. I lock the doors. You hide in the back seat of the car. I'll go get some help. And when I come back, I'll knock 3 times on the roof. 3 times. Just like this. Unless I knock 3 times, do not open the doors. Do not, Isabel.
And away he goes. The figure of Dim O'Rourke fading into the mist until it disappears, not knowing what he's in for.
It must have been, 20, 30 minutes when his wife starts hearing a knock.
Oh. She sits straight up and listens carefully. Two.
That must be Tim. He's managed to find help and rescue is on the way, she thinks, relieved.
But
then she hears again and again. Another one. And again. On the roof of the car. It can't be his husband. But then, who can it be? As daylight breaks, she hears in the distance the sound of cars racing down the path. She hasn't been able to get a wink, what with the knocks on the roof of the car. Here they are at last, she thinks. It's taking him a long time, but Jim is all safe and sound now. Everything's going to be all right. But she can notice the sound of the sirens wailing. It is two police cars. She can see a policewoman getting out and approaching. As the policewoman unlocks the car and grabs her by the arm, gently dragging her away, she says, "Don't look back, Mrs. O'Rourke. Now, will you please walk straight up to the police car and don't look? Let's get you out of here." About 10 meters away from the car, she can't help but look. Then she sees the body of poor Jim O'Rourke hanging from the branch of a tree. She muffles a scream with her hand as she notices that he has had both his eyes removed from the sockets.
"That thing that will kill you, you won't see it coming."
As the wind blows, it moves his body, dangling to and fro. And Isobel understands that the knocks he has been hearing all night were the sound of his feet hitting the roof because of the wind. And that is the story of Jim O'Rourke. And a true story it is. And if you don't believe me, you just need to look straight into my eyes and see for yourself that there is nothing. Ha 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 ha